is how you finish. We're in, that is chapter 4, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, just kind of echoing what Apostle was talking about. I think one of the things that the church is lacking is really a revelation of the kingdom of God. You know, because we live, you know, in a democracy. So, you know, coming up in church, that's all I saw. I didn't see nothing but the church operating as a democracy. I saw, you know, a lot of voting. I saw, I'm talking about even down to the pews, the color of the curtains. I mean, everything had to be voted on. And then, you know, there wasn't any government as far as, you know, the pastor really didn't have, you know, no kind of authority. It was the deacons that was in authority. And so, so the church, as far as the kingdom was concerned, just didn't have a revelation of it. And so, if we're living in a kingdom with a democracy mindset, we're not going to be able to walk in the power. We're not going to be able to walk in it. You know, so I want to look at something. Because of the lack of character development in the church, the body of Christ, the world has made its way into the church through the saints. Isn't that something? Let's see, in Timothy. Let's see. 2 Timothy 2. You know, because when we start talking about, you know, character, lack of character, and that sort of thing and stuff, the scripture says here in 2 Timothy 2 and 20, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. So he's talking about these vessels and so he describing, you know, the value of them. That's gold vessels, that's silver vessels, then, you know, that's wood and earth. You know, they say earth, that's talking about dirt. And so, but it says some to honor and some to dishonor. But it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, that's set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. So we said that the church, the ecclesia of God, called out for the specialized task of extending and advancing the kingdom of God. Instead of being the glorious church the Father desires, the church is weak, anemic, lacking force, power, vitality, and spirit. Praise God. But where Apostle is trying to take us to is trying to take us to the New Testament church, where we understand how the kingdom operates in government, the government of the kingdom of God. See, in the government, how many of you know in the kingdom government, the king rules. And the king's word is law. So that means that we don't vote on it. So what God says is what it is. And so we don't have, we can't get with no committee. We can't sit to the side and say that we're going to do it this way. We feel like, you know, we ought to do it differently. No, we can't. And see, that's what's been happening to the church for a long time. They've gotten together. They had committees and that sort of thing and stuff. And they decide, you know, we're going to do this. You know, this will be able to draw people and that kind of thing and stuff. But when it comes down to the kingdom, we have to do it the way God says. God said, I'm not allowing no signs, wonders, or miracles to go into that mess that they got polluted. And so that's what is happening in anemic, church anemic. I mean, they don't have no power because they don't even understand the power of the blood of Christ. So as a result, they will only reproduce after their own kind. You can't give what you don't have. You can't produce who you are not. You can't produce that. So now we're going to governing principles, making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ's likeness. To manifest what?
Christ-likeness.
To manifest what?
Christ-likeness.
Christ-likeness. Not somebody's else's image or somebody else's character, but Christ's character. So it says in Mark 1 and 17, and Jesus said unto them, what did he say? Follow me. And then if you follow me, what's going to happen? I'm going to make you fishers of men. Okay, so watch this. Most folk in the church really don't know how to follow. No, most folk in the church don't know how to follow because, first of all, they don't understand government. They don't understand if God has put a man and a woman of God in your life to teach you, to instruct you, then you have to learn how to follow them. Y'all with me? And so in following, in the process of following, that sometimes, listen to me, my parents, they were pretty strict on me. You know, there was times, you know, when children was out, they all playing and running around and that kind of thing and stuff. I had to sit on the porch. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't because my parents didn't love me. It was because they were trying to protect me from everything that was going on in the street. And they were trying to teach me. I mean, they out in the street, they playing, they going on, they small, they cussing and going on and stuff. So they didn't want me to be contaminated by that. Of course, I got contaminated anyway, you know. But the thing about it is, they were not trying to keep me from having fun, because they know that I had purpose on my life. You with me? So it's the same way. There's times when I was corrected and I really didn't like it. Especially my dad had a belt, and my daddy didn't just whoop you, just whoop you like this. It looked like he did it like a whip. Pow! You know what I'm saying? And, you know, today, you know, back in my day, they had nobody calling, no kids calling 911. I think, see, the way society went, the church went the same way. So as soon as something going on, as soon as you get corrected, you know, you want to call 911. You want to get out of the church. You want to find somewhere else to go. And the whole purpose of it was to get you in a position so that you could rule in life. God dog it. So you could rule in life. And like Apostle was saying, that's something that the Bible said coming on the earth that the people of God have to be ready for. See, so because we're doing our kingdom assignment, when things are going on, we can't be disturbed by what's going on. We have to keep on doing what we call to do. Y'all with me? So we got to keep on doing what we call to do. So there's a process. Jesus was the only, they had to follow first. The following have to come first before the making comes. He can't make you the fisherman unless you follow first. So if I don't properly know how to follow, if I don't follow knowing that, there's times when I'm going to be corrected because I don't really know how to operate fully in the spirit realm. So I've got to be trained. No sergeant or captain of an army want to be on the battlefield while war is going on and see those that they've trained laying down, been blown up or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? So he's trying to prepare them for the battle that they'll have to fight. So they're always walking victory. And so the making comes after the following. If you're not willing to follow, you'll never be made. Praise God. You'll never be made if you're not a follower. So all believers in our churches must be wholesome in the areas of their manhood and womanhood. Talking about maturity now. So the four specific areas that seal or secure maturity into man or womanhood, and they are, number one, marriage. Number two, motive. Number three, morality. And number four, money. Praise God. Now you got to understand now, our purpose is we got to manifest Christ's likeness in every aspect of our lives, right? So, all right. So first, marriage. Kingdom marriages must reflect the relationship of Christ and the church. So a marriage is a reflector. You know, if a light hit a reflector, how many know it's not really a light itself, but when the light hits it, it reflects. You with me? And so when people see the Christian marriage, then they ought to be able to see a pattern of Christ in the church. Christ gave himself for the church. Lord, don't make me go here. I've never seen how, y'all young ladies, y'all excuse me when I say this. Some of these rascals don't want to work. In a garden, God gave a man a job before he gave him a wife. There's no such thing as once he married you, you're going to get a job. If he's not working now, he's not going to get no job. You understand what I'm saying? And so the husband really is supposed to lay down his life for the wife. Because that's what Christ did. Work, brother, work. Get you a job. Get you two if you have to. You understand what I'm saying? But if there has to be a reflection of Christ in the church, the relationship, Christ in the church. That's what we're supposed to be reflecting. But if the church is full of folk with divorces, you understand what I'm saying? Folk who are not loyal in their relationships and that sort of thing. That's not a reflector. That's not a reflect, all right? So the kind of relationship that must permeate from all the activities of a husband and a wife together as one is a relationship of sacrifice, honor, and submission. You know, that's a lot of times when men hop on, a woman's supposed to submit. She's supposed to submit to her husband. The Bible says submit one to another in the grace of life. That's supposed to be a submitting on both sides. Can I help y'all? All right. Well, a woman will submit if a man lays life down for her. They have to see this as you're supposed to submit to me. Lay your life down. Lay your life down. I don't have no problem submitting. But you're not going to control my life, and you're not giving anything until the marriage. Come on, talk to me, y'all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, So it ought to be sacrifice, honor, and submission. Praise God. Hallelujah. It ought to be honor. A husband ought to honor his wife. A wife should honor her husband. You know, they shouldn't be. It's just a little side trip. A woman never should tell her husband about he ought to be like another man. I wish you were like brother so-and-so. Oh, don't do that. And please don't say nothing. You ought to be like pastor. Cause I had a lady at church years ago when I first started pastoring. And she'd go home all the time talking about pastor say this. Pastor. So she's talking about pastor so much so the husband came to church. And the husband looking at me sideways. And so the man had to, you know, say he had to come because, you know, he thought that pastor and his wife had something going on because she always bringing up pastor. So I had to get it straight. I said, man, look, hold up. I said, all I have is this woman that's right here. I don't want yours. So I told him, I said, stop going to, the Bible says, I'm only saying what the Bible said. Go and say the Bible said. Don't go and say pastor said it. Pastor just said what the Bible said. Lord have mercy. Our spouses should be our best friends and companions in our life's journey. No one else should find that place of closeness with us emotionally or mentally. Shouldn't share secrets with some lady on your job about what's going on at your house. My wife, stop cooking. No. You don't have no business doing that. Because what you're doing is you're giving an invitation. And guess what? Somebody, and she will cook for you for a little while. See, anybody can put up a front for a little while. You understand what I'm saying? So you really have to be careful of that. Careful of, somebody have a problem they're going through, and you're gonna be an ear to them. No, I'm not gonna be no ear to you. Let me tell you what happened to me. This was some years ago. I had this lady. She came and joined the church. They just started pastoring, and so she came to the church, and she didn't join the church. She said she wanted to be, you know, in the Baptist church, they had what's called watch care. She said, I want to be on the watch care. So she came to the church, and so she said, you know, I want to know more about the Bible. So the lady started calling the house, and she wanted to have Bible discussions. So, you know, I tried to tell my wife, I said, why don't you talk to this lady? She said, no, I don't want to talk to her. So the lady was calling, and so the lady, she said, I need you to come to the house. My son is not behaving right in school. So I need you to come. So I tried to get my wife to go, but she said, no, I'm not going. So I got a deacon to go with me. So I went, and so I talked to the little boy. I said, you got to stop cutting up in school. You got to do your, the boy said, I make all A's. He said, I make all A's. He said, I don't get a teacher no trouble. And she was dressed, you know, I mean, with spaghetti straps. Yeah, she was trying to, you understand what I'm saying? So I went home and I told my wife. So the lady called, want to have a Bible study. I said, from here on out, my wife will take care of all Bible studies with you. And guess what? She left the church and she never called again. So they always, Satan always trying to set you up in some kind of way. You know what he's trying to set you up for? So that you can bring shame against, instead of being a reflection, all of a sudden now, you know, you have become a deflection. You know, people don't want to get even, this is, you know, we used to talk about this. Oh, Lord, help me to say this the right way. You know, single ladies. You ever been to Dillard's? Y'all ever been to Dillard's? And they have all that perfume on the thing. You know, there'd be samples. And people just pass by. Pss, pss, pss. Did you ever know that whenever they get ready to purchase one, they get a new one? They never use those that's been used. They never purchase those that's been used. So you must never become a sample. Okay, all right, okay, all right, okay, all right. Praise the Lord, amen. I mean, I've been in there many times and stuff. I never saw, I won't, oh, this will smell good. Do you have a new one in this one? No, we don't have a new one. You're not gonna hear them say, well, can I buy this one? No, they're not gonna say that. They're gonna say, when you gonna get some more in? Straight out the box. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. So, okay, all right, I'm just trying to see where I was. Okay, so the Bible says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. To who? As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the, watch this. See, the God, the kingdom is a government, is a kingdom of government. So it does not mean that the husband is over the wife. God just have to have somebody that he can hold responsible. Whenever Adam sinned, God said, Adam, where art thou? He never called Eve. He never said, Eve, where are you? He called Adam, he called the man first. He called him and said, Adam, where art thou? And so he had to have somebody, and just like on your job, if you put in a place of responsibility, they have to, they only do that so that they can have somebody that if something don't go right, somebody they can get on. So that's why God set it up like that. He didn't set it up because the husband is higher than the wife. You understand what I'm saying? He did it so that man would be responsible. God say, okay, all right, come on, let's talk about this. Can I help you out with something? Watch this. Let me help you. That's the time when, my wife would do something, and I'd say, Lord, you better talk to her. And the Lord said, okay, let's start off by talking to you first. I said, Lord, it just don't seem fair. It's, I come to you about something she's done, and you throw it on me. He said, because a lot of things that she's doing, you're the one that caused her to do it. You're the one that triggered it. And so what happened was, God started making me look at myself first before I even start pointing at her. Because sometimes we can do something to cause a reaction. See, a woman is an incubator. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you give her you give her a house, she'll give you a home. You understand what I'm saying? You give her groceries, she'll give you a meal. You know what I'm saying? You give her a seat, she'll give you a child. But if you give her frustration, she's going to give you hell. Yeah, she's going to give you hell. She's going to give you hell. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Praise the Lord. So we have to be careful, you know, when you're working alongside people, when you're married, you have to be careful, you know, not to cross lines. Y'all with me? So it said the believers must be well disciplined in their marriages as well and well nourished with every spiritual help they can get to raise the standard in this corrupt world where life together in holy matrimony is ridiculed by the media and the world system. When you start talking about, you know, marriage and stuff, it's just like a joke. And it's just like a joke in some churches. Oh, wow, my God. I mean, I'm talking about it's sad. So there has to be, we must have a conviction of steel that ministry is not complete or wholesome if the family is out of order. Praise God. So we must be taught that God's ways are to be our priority. Oh, Lord, help me. The Holy Spirit just, see, in church, you can't be faking it. You know, you're going to church, you husband and wife, you're going to church, you know, and you all love it, dove and that kind of thing and stuff. And you just finish cussing each other out in the car. You know what I'm saying? No, you cannot. Let me tell you something. I refuse. Y'all listen to me. I refuse. Now, somebody may lie or something like that, but I refuse to be called a fake. I mean, somebody could lie and say something. You understand what I'm saying? But no, I'm talking about really. No, we're going to do this right. My wife stopped me from saying this. I used to say it, but this is what I used to say. The Lord told me, he said, when you start sleeping in separate rooms, he said at least, he says that's the process of separation. You know, after separation come divorce. So I told my wife, we're not going to go in other rooms. You understand what I'm saying? We're not going to other rooms. We're not, when we if we get upset with each other, I'm going to be on this side of the bed, you're going to be on that side of the bed, and the devil in the middle. She said, no, don't. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the only thing got you on your side, me on mine. You know what I'm saying? So you can't be, you got to be real with what you're doing. So we must be taught that God's way ought to be our priority, and that marriage forms the basic foundation for all other activities on the earth, including jobs, investment, or business. To keep this order, we must simply and courageously draw a line and decide that these things threatening to encroach our family life must stop. God can't entrust his bride, oh Lord have mercy, with us when he can't entrust when we can't even take care of our own. How are we going to take care of the church and we can't? God said, I can't trust you with mine, and you can't even take care of your own. Second thing is motive. Motive is the reason why you do what we do. Motives become impure when what you desire from the outcome of your action overshadow and becomes more important than the act itself. It becomes personal, selfish. And most of us start off life pursuing things that with unclean motives and hidden agendas. Whatever you do, you must always ask yourself this question. What is my motive? What is my motive? Why am I doing this? And you should always question yourself, always ask yourself. You know, it's just like, Word of Life, and you, why am I here? Why am I here? Do I have a motive for being here outside of God told me to come here? What's my motive for this? When there's something that a apostle needs done, you know, I make sure that my heart is, I'm doing what God has called me to do in order to assist the apostle in what he's doing and stuff, but no other reason. You got to make sure, you got to always, don't ever let the enemy have you with a hidden agenda. Because most time when you got a hidden agenda, the person you're following going to find it out. You're going to find it out. So always make sure that your motives are pure. Whatever we do, we have to ask ourselves. We got to ask ourselves, what is my motive? So now the word of God says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 31, but if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. How do we judge ourselves? We judge our own hearts by allowing the sharp two-edged sword of God's word to discern its motives and expose our hearts before us. We can see all things clearly as he sees and judge the motives within our hearts before they can find expression in our words and action. In 1 John 3:19-22, it says, we will know by this, that we are the truth, and we'll assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemn us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things which are pleasing in his sight. So when we walk in the light of the Holy Spirit that is given us, we won't stumble. Praise God. Y'all with me? Yeah, we're not going to stumble. But we always have to let the light of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit bring conviction. A lot of times in the church now, we don't really, when it comes down to conviction, there's no conviction in the church now, because there's no power, because And that's the whole thing, man. I thank God that the Lord spoke to Apostle and when he was in the Lord being called him to be an apostle. Because since that time, I mean, a whole lot of things that we had learned, we had to unlearn. We had to unlearn. I mean, because God is setting up his government properly, going back to the book of Acts, the way the church first started, what the power was. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, like in Jesus' day, like I said last week, Jesus did not, when it came down to when he was doing ministry, Jesus didn't just sit around and just do a whole lot of praying for folk. He prayed before he went to do the work in his prayer time. He prepared. The Father showed him. The Father gave him revelation of what all he wanted him to do. And Jesus would get out there and Jesus would just say, receive your sight. Pick up your bed and walk. I mean, Jesus is not walking the flow and stuff and Satan, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. You know, they're screaming to the top of your voice. And the devil say, you say, Satan, I bind you. He said, I bind you. And it's because the way the church taught us, to just, you know, get ready for ministry. You know, you get a calling on your life. Just go out there and experiment and God will be with you. No, you got to be prepared for this. You got to be prepared for this. And the thing about it is you have to make sure that you are submitted, because if you're not submitted, that's an open door for Satan. That's an open door. If you're not covered, that's an open door for Satan. Say no. Do like you did the son of Sceva here. You know, they say, we adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul. He say, Paul, I know. I know Jesus. I know them. I almost said, No. But who are you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But who are you? So we don't want to go out that. We don't want to go out like that. So when we violate our conscience, we will walk out of the light into darkness, and there will not be the covering of blood in that area. So you got to stay in the light. You got to stay in the light. You can't be faking it. Can't be faking like Apostle said, you know, about, you know, your prayer life. You can't just be talking to God. God need to talk to you. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what he's going to talk to you through that word. Hallelujah. Then number three, morality. Morality involves your belief system and core values. The ability to live uprightly with high values of ethics and honest dealings with fellow human beings will lead us into maturity of Christ likeness. Yeah, we just can't deal with just church folk right. We got to deal with everybody right. So this issue of morality does not confine itself to sexuality, but all dealings with others. It applies to everyone we come in contact with during our walk here on earth, whether it be a Christian or a non-Christian. The high values we place on honesty, integrity, purity, peace, dependability will reveal the strength of our morality. I said it again. The high values we place on honesty. That we place on honesty. You know, you can't be, when it's tax time come around and stuff, you know, you claiming, you know, folk that's not in your house, you claiming a dog and stuff. You know them. You know, you got the dog, the cat, and all them on there. You got their names and stuff on the thing. No, you got to be honest. You know, you can't say. I've heard church folk say this. Church folk, you know, they go on a job and they on the job. You know, they have, you know, they can get ink pens and paper and stuff. You know, while they're on the job, they get that stuff and bring it home and say, shoot, they got so much of this, and they ain't paying me right no way. So I just get me a handful of them. No, that's not right. That's not right. That's not right. I was in the construction field. I was in construction field years ago. And so tell you what I did. I was building a thing for my dogs. And so I went through this, you know, they was doing this construction on this house. So they had a lot of nails and stuff that was around and stuff. So you know what I did? I got me a cup and I went around. I picked up them nails and I picked up, I'm talking about new nails. I went and picked them up from all over the floor and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so I got to the house and got my hammer and stuff. The Lord said, who told you to, who gave you permission to get those nails? I said, Lord, it was on the floor. I mean, no, people not going to use them. The Lord said, but they weren't yours. I said, but Lord, couldn't you have told me that when I picked them up? I done came all the way home with these bad boys. You understand what I'm saying? Lord said, yeah. Now go take them back. I had to go back on the job. Look, I got there with the cup of nails and stuff. I just took the cup that slung it. But the Lord was trained. The Lord said to me, see, character is doing what's right when nobody's around. Now, if you just have to wait till somebody's around to do the right thing, then you really don't have no character. So I say, man. And then they had a piece of wood, a few pieces of wood they had over there on the burnt pile too. I took that too. And Lord told me to bring it all back. And I went out on a job the next day. So I had asked the man, I said, man, they got them nails and stuff, you know, all over the floor and stuff. Y'all want them? He said, no, you can take them. And I said, how about the stuff? And he said, take all that. I said, oh, shoot, no, I'm not even. But the thing about it is, when the man who was telling me I could take it, it wasn't his to give me that permission. I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to carry myself through this again. I'm not going to take those nails and go home and then the Lord tell me to bring them back. I said, I am not going to do it. Praise the Lord. So there has to be honest, integrity, purity, peace, and dependability, etc. will reveal the strength of our morality. These core values are often neglected, and other non-essential characteristics are often overemphasized. The ability to preach, sing, or lead take preeminence over eternal core values, which make a person pleasant and likable. You know, that's what oh, Lord, how much they could sing, but they lie so much. I don't want no lie singing to me because they're gonna lose a spirit. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. So they put high values on those kind of things. Oh, he could preach. Oh Lord, have mercy. Oh Jesus, he preached the horns off a billy goat, buddy a hole. Lord have mercy. Jesus. Proverbs 19 and 22, my time at. What is desirable in a man's, a man is his kindness, and it is better, the Bible says, it is better to be a poor man than a liar. Ooh. If core kingdom values cannot be established within the context of apostolic church believers, then the concept of covenant relationships, apostolic fathering, laying down our lives for one another, and kingdom community living and corporate destinies will not be possible to implement. And see, that's the thing that has to, for us to really be effective, we got to have covenant relationship. See, the people of God, we have to have a relationship where we love each other. Y'all with me? And we're not like crabs in a barrel. Soon as one person get up, we pull them down, that sort of thing. Can't do that. Covenant, when we're in covenant together, we have to understand, I said this, I think I said this last week, but blood is thicker than water. That's covenant. That blood, that's the water is the birth thing. And my time is up. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Praise the Lord.